And we also have 5 Points Fiele featuring Black 47 and Shilella Loth at the Old Knitting Factory. So, there's your concert billboard for today. If you want more, check out WSB.fm and check out our full listing of concert billboards. You guys are listening to WSB Stony Brook. Have a splendid day.
Yeah, music from Distorto there. Here on WUSP in Stony Brook, it's 2 minutes after 6 o'clock. Time for, what is it, Off the Wall. Good evening. The program is Off the Wall. Manuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening. And that is the sound I have to hear every day now. Not Philip Glass, this bird. A couple of years ago, I don't know if you remember, a couple of years ago I asked listeners for help in identifying this bird. Because I noticed that the same bird came back to the same tree year after year. And at first it was annoying as hell, and then I realized, you know what, this is kind of cool. It's sort of like an old friend coming back, or an old enemy coming back even, which is also kind of cool. And every year, year after year, this bird just returns to the same tree, and it's called a house wren. And I want to thank the listeners who wrote in to tell me that. Very tiny, mischievous bird that causes a lot of ruckus in the bird community and makes a lot of noise. And lives to be, I think, about 7-8 years old? So he's going to be around for a while. Yeah, it comes back every year to the same place. It's amazing what birds do. They just go someplace for the winter, they can find it, and then they can find their way back. And it's incredible. They've got built-in GPS or something. 11 to 13 centimeters long, according to Wikipedia. They weigh about 12 grams, if you're thinking of picking one up. And you know what? That was the northern house wren. I don't know why they call it house wrens. They don't live in houses. But there's also, there's a southern house wren. And the southern house wren, I'm going to try and play that for you as well. It's a little bit more grandiose in its song. Yeah, you can sort of pick up the accent there. And that's not what I have to put up with at all. For some of you southern listeners, yeah, maybe you do. Nature, yeah. It's a lot of fun. Might as well just get used to it because it's not going anywhere. Well, it's been a fun week as always. A lot of interesting things going on. Okay, well, let's get to the big news first, okay? How many of you watched the big game, huh? Nobody, I'll bet. It was on at 4 in the morning. Of course, I'm referring to North Korea playing Iran. But the amazing thing about this is the thing that really blew me away and that people didn't believe when I told them. But basically, the Fox Soccer Channel broadcast live from Pyongyang, North Korea, this football game, this soccer game, a qualifying match for the World Cup next year in South Africa. When is the last time you ever saw a sporting event or anything broadcast live from North Korea, let alone on a Fox channel? So that in itself was just simply amazing. The fact that I could turn on a television set at 4 o'clock in the morning, Friday night, Saturday morning, and see this, it was mind-blowing. It really was. And the cool thing about it, the really cool thing was everybody playing on the field, everybody in the stands, they all just look so human. You know, I mean, every time you hear a story about North Korea, what do you see? You see those robotic marching dances that they do, you know, and through the streets with the tanks and the missiles and things like that, and everybody is all synchronized and not even human. You know, they don't act the same as everybody else on the planet. It's some kind of bizarre cult society. And I just like anything that shows the humanity through whatever perception we're fed by the media. And, you know, I'm not apologizing for any regimes or anything like that or saying that there isn't a lot that's wrong. But there are also human beings, people who laugh, people who show emotion, people who understand the rules of a game, and they play with another team from a different part of the world, and they have their own communication within that. And that's fascinating to watch, looking at the people in the crowd, seeing the expressions on their faces. Wow, they're all individuals, you know, and people just walking around, doing normal people-type things. Yeah, it's a bizarre alien type of society. And I was there. I'm not making any pretense as anything that we would find easy to blend into. But there are signs. There are signs of individuality that you can find in the most unexpected places sometimes. And yes, watching a soccer game in the middle of the night from a different part of the world, might as well be a different planet, gives you hope sometimes. But insofar as the actual future of the North Korean team to make it to the World Cup next year, well, okay, this is what we have to talk about. This is the issue at hand right now because well, something could be decided in the next 24 hours, actually. Here's the situation. This is the Asian group. Now, the Asian group is made up of two divisions. And the division that North Korea is in is also shared by South Korea, Saudi Arabia, Iran, and the United Arab Emirates. So those five teams. Of those five teams, the top two will go on to South Africa next year. And that is a big deal. Because not since 1966 has North Korea made it into the World Cup. Not since 1966. And I guarantee you, if they make it into the World Cup, it'll put people in a better mood over there. They're more likely to not shoot so many missiles, threaten the South as much, imprison Westerners, things like that. So if that's the kind of thing that matters to you, you should be following these games. It's all about putting Kim Jong-il in a good mood. Now, here's a situation. The game ended in a scoreless tie. That sounds really boring to Americans, but it actually is exciting watching the almost goals and things like that. So you had a situation where Iran is in fourth place and North Korea was in second place. Had North Korea won this game, advancement to the next round, the finals, would have been almost definite. So now it's not nearly as definite. Now, South Korea almost certainly will go through to the next round. Almost certainly. And I believe in the other division, there's two divisions. That's comprised of Australia, Japan, Bahrain, Qatar, and Uzbekistan. And I believe Australia and Japan have already qualified to go through. Okay. So we don't care about them. We don't care about that division. We care about the division that North Korea is in. Almost certainly South Korea will go through. They have 14 points. They've played 6 games. North Korea has only 11 points, and they've played 7 games. They have one game left to go. So the best they can do is tie South Korea for points. But they're still not going to be in first place because South Korea beat them in the games they played, so that puts them ahead. Okay, so they just have to not finish in third. And even if they do finish in third, there's still a chance. There's still a chance they could make it. I'll explain that in a second. Yeah, I know, I'm talking about sports, but it's weird sports, so it's I can get away with it. Here's what's happening tonight. South Korea, well, actually, tomorrow morning, South Korea will be playing, what is it, Saudi Arabia? Where's the schedule? Hang on, I got the schedule here somewhere. Yes, from Seoul, South Korea will be playing Saudi Arabia. Now, Saudi Arabia is in third place. They have 10 points. And they've also only played 6 games. Yeah, so if they win either tonight or in their next game, which actually happens to be against North Korea on the last day, then they will be in second place and North Korea will not. Now, the odds of them beating South Korea are very slim, unless South Korea throws the game. Yeah, they could do that. Just to screw over North Korea. This is how it works. So, keep an eye on the results tomorrow morning. Now, if they tie, which also will be kind of unusual, because South Korea is a much better team. If they tie, that puts Saudi Arabia and North Korea even at 11 points each. And then they play the final game on the 17th in Riyadh. So, got some interesting possibilities. Now, whoever finishes in third place gets to play the third place team from the other division. Yeah, and right now that will either be Bahrain or Qatar. I don't think Uzbekistan can make it. And they play for that. They play for a half a place in South Africa. What that means is whoever wins that game goes on to play New Zealand, and the winner of that game goes on to South Africa. It's very complicated, very crazy. That's another reason why it's fun to follow and try to figure out. Now, New Zealand, talk about unfair. Oh, my God. They only had to play, I think, 6 games to qualify in the first place. They are in the group known as Oceania. The one we're talking about right now with North Korea and South Korea and all that, that's the Asian group. And Australia has just recently moved over to the Asian group. They were in the Oceanic group before that. But now New Zealand has nobody to play that is of the same caliber. Well, they have New Caledonia. They have, Fiji, Tonga, American Samoa. USB could beat those teams. All right, we could get together a soccer team in 20 minutes and take a flight over there and at least give them a run for their money. Solomon Islands? I mean, it's just unbelievable. But the thing is, there were two different different series of games. New Zealand didn't even have to play in the first series. I don't know why. I've been trying to find this out all day, looking up online, why did New Zealand get a free pass and didn't have to play to qualify for the second round? They were just there in the second round. They already made it. They didn't have to qualify. So they're in the second round. They only have to play a few games. They're in first place. And now they get to play the third place winner of the Asian group for that last spot in South Africa. It just seems like they had too easy a road. All right. Okay, so speaking of North Korea, you know what? Let's try this. I've actually programmed a North Korean telephone number into our system. It's probably not going to work, but if it does work, we can speak live to somebody in North Korea. Yeah, you can do that. You can do that occasionally. And I won't give out any more details than that. Let's get a dial tone. Okay, that sounds awful. What's with that static? Okay. Outside line. And now we dial a special number that we've programmed to route over to Pyongyang, North Korea. It's probably not going to work because it's obviously very hard to get a line. But it's possible. And if it does go through, we'll say hi to somebody over there. Won't get them to say anything political, get them in trouble, nothing like that. Just act a bit confused. You know, that's what you do if you want to get...
Your call was not completed.
Oh. You see, that's what happens. Should I try it one more time? Let's try it one more time. Okay, see what happens. Of course, North Korea has been in the news quite a bit lately, not for the football game at all, but for the two journalists that were sentenced to 12 years hard labor for wandering over into North Korean territory from the Chinese border. Basically, these...
Your call was not completed.
All right. You know, we tried at least. We did try, and we'll try again. We'll try again a little bit later on. And, of course, we'll take your phone calls, too, at 631-632-9872. Now, North Korea's top court, the very top court, the one all the way at the pinnacle, convicted two American journalists, sentenced them to 12 years in labor prison. That was yesterday, actually. And it intensified the reclusive nation's confrontation with the United States. The North Central Court tried TV reporters Laura Ling and Yuna Lee during proceedings running from last Thursday to Monday, found them guilty of a grave crime against the nation and of illegally crossing into North Korea. Now, it's interesting. I've been on that border. I'm not sure if it's the exact same border they were at, but I've been on the border between China and North Korea. And there is no border. There's basically a very narrow river which you could very easily get across, and someone could very easily come and bring you over to the other side if they used force, I suppose, and vice versa. It's not a very a very hard border to get across, which is kind of surprising when you think that this is North Korea, supposedly the most reclusive nation in the world, where everybody wants to leave. Well, it seems like it's pretty easy for them to leave just by going to this particular area. Obviously, it's a bit more complicated than that. But it gives you a sense as to what might have been going on when these reporters were filming. They were doing a story about North Korean refugees who basically go to China and no doubt take that very path. Well, I think what they've proven beyond any shadow of a doubt is that it's relatively simple to go from one country to the other and sometimes get pulled into the one you don't want to go to. They were working for Current TV. Now, that's the channel that Vice President Al Gore started. Yeah, the one that supplanted News World International, the only station that used to broadcast CBC News into this country. Now, of course, we don't get that anymore. So I have sort of a lingering resentment towards that. But in this particular case, I certainly hope that they get out. And I think actually what we saw on Monday was a positive step for a couple of reasons. First of all, this whole 12-year thing, it's a much harsher sentence than anybody expected. And the fact that they have an extremely harsh sentence like that tells me that they're going to want something in return. They're going to want some kind of negotiation to get them released. And also, they could have charged them with espionage. They did not do that. And espionage certainly is a much more serious crime than simply insulting the country or doing something that they didn't like, that violated their rules. So it seems to me like these people will be out in 2 weeks. That's my prediction is 2 weeks is what it's going to take to negotiate some kind of settlement. And they're probably still in a hotel. They're probably not in a prison in any sense. Think about it. What are these people worth to the North Korean regime if they are simply put in a prison someplace? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. But here they're very valuable bargaining chips. And what can North Korea get out of this? They can get all kinds of face-to-face negotiations directly with the United States. They can get the United States to stop threatening to put them on the terrorist list if they don't stop testing missiles. You know, personally, I don't see how we can tell anybody you're not allowed to test a missile, you're not allowed to develop nuclear technology. That right there, no matter what the regime is, I'm not thrilled with any regime having this kind of technology, but no matter what kind of regime it is, who are we to say this country can have it, this country cannot have it? You know, I think we just simply imagine what it's like to be told that. Maybe we'll understand why they do the things they do. Okay, in other news from that particular region, Kim Jong-il, who's looking really frail lately. Have you seen pictures of him walking around? He's like half the weight he used to be and suddenly looks old. He's basically grooming his heir, which apparently is going to be his youngest son, who is that, Kim Jong-un. Is that the right way to say it? So instead of Kim Jong-il, it will be Kim Jong-un. That's spelled U-N. And this youngest son apparently speaks English, was educated in Switzerland, might be more Western-leaning than previous leaders. But the other thing you have to consider is that all of this going on over there, is not only sending signals to the people in the West, it's sending signals to the people in that particular country. And I imagine it's a lot more complex than what we might think it is. There are probably all kinds of hardliners and maybe, if not pro-Western type people, people who at least want to open dialogue a little bit more, maybe become more integrated in the rest of the world. So by blowing up missiles and developing technologies and trying Americans and sentencing them to long periods of time in prison camps, you're sending a signal to anyone thinking of questioning you that you've got the situation under control. You're not yielding an inch. So all of this, it's all very complex and fascinating. And that's why I like to follow what's going on in weird parts of the world and occasionally visit weird parts of the world. And hopefully have better luck than poor Mayor Ray Nagin from New Orleans. You hear about this guy? The mayor of New Orleans has been quarantined. Yes, that's right. He's been quarantined in China after possible exposure to the H1N1 virus, the former swine flu virus. He was traveling to China on an economic development trip. He flew on a plane that carried a passenger being treated for symptoms suspected to be from the virus. And they basically quarantined him in Shanghai, although he is symptom-free. But boy, what a way to see China, you know? Well, I'm inside a bubble or whatever it is they put people in. So that's a bit of fun. The speech. Okay, the speech from overseas. Did you guys see this? Did you watch it on TV? This was also on in the middle of the night because Obama was giving the speech in Cairo, in Egypt. And I was watching it. I thought it was fascinating. I thought, first of all, it was an amazing gesture to go over there and give this this wide-ranging talk that pretty much hit a lot of issues head-on, dealt with all kinds of differences that our culture has with other cultures, with the perception of Americans as being at war with Islam, with the multifaceted culture of Islam in itself, and what Americans are all about. And it was great to see somebody go over there and not only try and explain this, but do it well. Do it in a cohesive, literate style. You know, we're not used to that over here. And hopefully we'll stay used to it once we do finally remember what it was like to have a leader that actually could command some level of respect. And, I think this is something that we need to test on ourselves as well. If we expect the rest of the world to respect the guy that they don't necessarily agree with, we need to find out if we can do that when we don't agree with some things that he says. And I'm learning that myself, because there are some things going on that disturb me. But I still find myself holding on to respect here, which is something I was not able to do with Bush from the start, because of his way of communicating, his mannerisms, his lack of details, lack of paying attention to the facts, things like that. Anyway, the GOP, they've jumped right onto Obama. They say that it's basically an apology tour is what they're calling it. Now, of course, Obama said some very strong things in support of Israel. He said there was an unbreakable bond between Israel and the United States, but the Republicans don't think that's enough. They said, well, House Minority Leader John Boehner, was it Bonner? I'm going to say Bonner. John Bonner blasted Obama's approach to that particular issue. He seemed to place equal blame on the Israelis and the Palestinians. I have concerns about this. The Israelis have the right to defend themselves. The Palestinians do not. The Israelis are human. The Palestinians are subhuman. And he went on. All right, maybe he didn't go quite that far, but you know what? He might as well have. He might as well have. How can somebody be so thick as to think that you have to give one side, make one side righter than the other side if you want to solve a conflict? it's just so, that is what the past has been about. The only way to move ahead is to focus on legitimate concerns from both sides. And as soon as you start saying, well, this side is better than the other side, you've lost the ability to have that dialogue. Representative Mike Pence of Indiana said there was a sense in here of a moral equivalency between those who are driving for a Palestinian state and the state of Israel. He said the president should not be asking Israel to make another concession, basically a concession being to stop building illegal settlements in violation of treaties and things like that. No, that's a concession. Yeah, shouldn't ask for that. But instead, he should be calling on the Palestinians and their supporters across the Arab world to begin to see real concessions within the Palestinian movement. A real effort to defang Hamas, to disarm terrorists. And that's interesting, too. You know, Obama did not use the T word once, did not use the word terrorist. He said extremists. I thought that was rather interesting right there, because a lot of people equate Islam with terrorism. And maybe this is a message that it's a bit more complicated than that. We all understand what extremism is about, and that can manifest itself in many different ways. And don't forget, Hamas was elected democratically. So, you know, it's kind of hard to say that they must be driven out in order to preserve democracy. Also, he referred to the Palestinian state as Palestine. Little things like that. Little things like that are significant. So, yeah, quite a reaction from the rest of the world. And in fact, let me see if I can find the story. Big news today. Big news today just came out. But hang on, I got to find it first. I have so many different stories here. Oh, yes, here it is. Uzbekistan. Second time we've brought them up tonight. Uzbekistan has issued a rare statement of praise for the U.S. government, calling President Barack Obama's recent address to Muslims a start to a new era of relations with the Islamic world. Yeah, Uzbekistan. It's all about making them happy. Mission accomplished. A statement from Uzbekistan's foreign ministry says Mr. Obama's speech was an appeal to break with a vicious circle of mistrust with the Muslim world. The ministry said it confirms the realism and pragmatism in the Obama administration's foreign policy approach. The statement was released through Uzbekistan's official Jahan News Agency, which is run by the foreign ministry. Muslim-majority Uzbekistan has had strained relations with the United States since 2005. Uzbekistan closed a U.S. base serving troops in Afghanistan following Western criticism over the violent suppression of anti-government demonstrators in the city of Andijan. There have been several diplomatic overtures since then, including this month's meeting between Uzbek President Islam Karimov. Yeah, that's how Islamic they are. His name is Islam. And U.S. Ambassador Richard Norland. President Obama called for a new beginning in relations between the U.S. and Muslims in a speech at Egypt's Cairo University last week. So, yeah, that was some interesting developments there. Obama spoke of Palestinian resistance. That's a word that can cast Israel as an illegitimate occupier. He drew parallels between Palestinians and the struggles of black Americans in slavery and of black South Africans during apartheid. And both references made some allies of Israel uneasy. But in his defense of Israel's legitimacy, Obama cited the Holocaust and centuries of anti-Semitism, but not the belief of some Jews that their claim to the land is rooted in the Bible and reaches back thousands of years. Obama has become known as someone willing to face a skeptical audience, a Muslim world wary of U.S. power, abortion rights opponents at the University of Notre Dame, and during the presidential campaign, voters questioning his ties to the Reverend Jeremiah Wright, and to ask that audiences move beyond old divisions. Obama's style has been to cast himself as ready to lead the nation past the entrenched battles of the Clinton and Bush years, and to ask Americans to look beyond old fault lines and accept a new world of pragmatism and compromise. So, progress or not? Hang on, the votes are coming in even as I speak. I keep forgetting to turn this phone down. Hang on, let me just... hold on. Give me a chance here. Okay, silent mode now. Get all the text messages I want. Okay, our phone number is 631-632-9872. I see we have calls coming in. That's great. We're going to take phone calls in just a moment. First, I want to tell you about something that's probably the dumbest thing I've heard. Well, first of all, there was a coup last night. I don't know if you heard about this. This is crazy. But there's all kinds of mayhem going on in Albany. Apparently, two dissident Democrats in the New York State Senate, had been secretly strategizing with Republicans for weeks. They bucked their party's leaders and joined with 30 Republican senators to form what they said would be a bipartisan power-sharing deal. And basically what that arrangement does is reestablish Republican control even with a Democratic majority. Pretty unbelievable. Democratic leaders were caught off guard as the Republicans and two Democratic dissidents, Pedro Espada Jr. of the Bronx and Hiram Monserrat of Queens, moved to topple them, and at one point became so flustered that they turned off the lights in the Senate chamber to try to prevent Republicans from installing new leaders. It's unbelievable. Governor David Patterson, at a news conference Monday evening, called the move an outrage and said Albany had become a dysfunctional wreck. The governor also said, "I will not allow this," but then conceded there was nothing he could do to stop it. It's complete chaos and mayhem in Albany, and nobody knows where it's going to go. Some people are saying this is completely illegitimate. Others are saying that the Democrats were simply outmaneuvered. Yeah, pretty amazing. State government. And today in England, first of all, the biggest, election in history took place over the weekend in Europe. Every single country in Europe voted for the European Parliament and some local elections as well. And basically what happened was a lot of countries moved further to the right. And most people were saying this was a punishment for the economy. It's weird how, in our particular case, the right wing was punished for the economy. Over there, it's more the left wing that was punished for the economy. Basically, it was anybody who was in power. But as far as I'm concerned, you know, if you move a little bit to the right in Europe, you're still pretty far to the left compared to what we have here. Still, some lunatic fringe or far right wing parties actually made some strides, including the BNP in Britain. They won two seats, and that's a far right political party. They are known as fascists. They tried to have a news conference today outside Parliament, but all these protesters, I was watching this before, all these protesters rounded the corner. Many of them were carrying signs saying "Stop the fascist BNP." They chased British National Party leader Nick Griffin from the area. He was elected to the European Parliament on Monday. The BNP does not accept non-white members and opposes immigration, in case you were wondering why we were calling them fascist. Interviewed by the BBC after the demonstration, Griffin said he was outraged by his inability to hold a news conference. It's very, very wrong, he said. It's a very sad day for British democracy. Well, yeah, it was a sad day when they elected him, that's for sure. But interesting, politics in action, conflict everywhere. But the thing is, you know, once you bring the fringe parties into the limelight, people react then. Maybe you'll have better than a 20% turnout next time when people realize, hey, voting does matter. It does count. Okay, let's go to delay, and hopefully I won't mess it up too badly this week. There's going to be a little bit of dead air because the person who's going to help us get to delay today only takes 4 seconds to say the ID, so that leaves us with an extra 3 seconds of silence. So, you know, there's nothing I can really do about that. That's just the way it is. So let's hear from this person, and I'll join you on the other side. This is, again, somebody that you hardly ever hear from, but I think is really cool.
Hello, I'm Neil Innes, and you're listening to WUSB, Stony Brook.
Yeah, and that was the voice of Neil Innes. In case you don't know, and again, sorry for the silence, but in case you don't know, that that's the guy who formed the Ruddles. You know, that group that that kind of mocks the Beatles? Might be a few similarities. And he also is a very talented musician. I don't know how he got that ID, but happy to see him residing on our DigiCart there. Okay, our phone number is 631-632-9872. I'd like to hear what folks have to say out there in Radio Land. Again, 631-632-9872. Maybe we'll try North Korea again in a little bit. Let's take a phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hey, Emmanuel.
How you doing? Where are you calling from?
Philly.
Philadelphia?
Yes.
Well, very good. Very good. What's on your mind?
I don't think you mentioned the most important thing that happened during the European parliamentary election.
Probably not, since there are so many different things going on. But what was the most important thing in your mind?
Victory for the Pirate Party.
Oh, you're right, of course. How could I forget that? They won, was it 2 seats in Sweden?
It's at least 1, maybe 2. They got 7.1% of the vote, so I think Sweden gets 18 or something.
Now, can you tell us something about the Pirate Party, what that's all about?
Well, basically, their main platform has to do with DRM and copyright protection.
Uh-huh.
Basically, anti-DRM and promoting more free use of digital materials online.
Now, this was a direct result of the recent verdict in the Pirate Bay case.
Which is still under appeal, I believe.
Still under appeal, and I think the difference over there, between there and here, is that when an issue becomes an issue, there's actually a chance of electing somebody that will latch onto that issue and maybe make a difference. Here, you know, I don't think we'd ever... We can't even elect people from the Green Party, let alone people from the Pirate Party. You know?
There is a U.S. version of the Pirate Party. At least they have a website. I don't know how... actually active anybody is.
Right. And what are the odds of ever electing anybody to anything beyond the school board, you know, in this country? You know, I don't like seeing the far-right groups win, but it does show you that people do have the power to affect change, bad change and good change. And that's why I like the parliamentary system. It just seems to work a little bit better.
Speaking of the far-right groups, did you get a chance to see any of Governor Palin in New York this weekend?
No, you know, I didn't know she was actually going to be in New York. I knew she was, you know, wandering around the country in various parts. I didn't know she was actually going to be in New York. Otherwise, I might have thought of something fun to do. But
apparently, she was invited to speak at some big muckety-muck Republican...
Yeah, with Newt Gingrich. Well, Newt Gingrich was invited after she apparently didn't respond quickly enough, and then they didn't want her speaking and taking away the spotlight from him or something like that.
Right, but then everybody who did speak referenced her in pictures. And...
It's great to see Republicans not getting along with each other.
Well, I read an interesting article about comparing the Republicans right now to the Whig Party of the mid-19th century and the sort of disillusion that that seems to be going on, or not disillusion, dissolving, or there's basically two or three main factions, and nobody really has control.
No, it sure seems that way, and they realize that they've messed it up pretty big, and they're going to have to just go back to the drawing board, or maybe start a new party, or something like that.
Absolutely.
All right, hey, thanks for your call, and thanks for the mention of the Pirate Party.
And then I was at Hope this past time with my wife, and I hope to be there again.
Yes, the next Hope, in about a year. We'll announce dates soon. Thanks for your call. 631-632-9872. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Speak yeah, I just wanted to say I love the show, man, and InformationLeak.net version 3 is out. Props to Hala and all the InfoLeakers out there. Keep running the Off the Wall show.
What's Information Leak? Well, tell us about that.
It's a website run by Hala and a couple other leakers. We're putting out some new software, new web design.
What is a leaker?
Leak information, man. Just spread the knowledge.
Leak information. Well, that sounds pretty cool. And how can we get this?
InformationLeak.net, InformationLeak.com.
Are there dashes in that, or is it just one word?
One word.
InformationLeak.com.
Yes.
Okay, I'm gonna check it out.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks for your call. 631-632-9872. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall. Speak up. You're on the air. Don't know what's going on over there. Can you hear me? Okay, I'm going to go over to the next call, because I can't hear you. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Leak information. That sounds pretty cool.
That sounds like me, and I sound pretty good, too.
Yep.
Okay, I don't know why I'm coming across the phone. Okay, you know what? While our callers figure out how to use telephones, I'm going to try North Korea again. All right. Our number is 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. Can we get an outside line? Can we have an outside line? Why isn't this button working? Wow, look at that. I'm pressing the button, but it doesn't work. Is this some kind of new system on this phone? You can't... There you go. Okay. I'm dialing the number now. In case you didn't know. And let's see if we actually get connected to North Korea. I think they only have 2 phone lines going into the country or something like that, so it's very hard to get connected. Our phone number, though... Oh, this could be good. That's the sound of a phone line trying to get through to North Korea. It's a lot of noise there. Reminds me of the day when phone calls used to sound like they were far away. I don't want to disconnect this because this is the first time...
Your call was not completed.
Oh, well.
I'm sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed. Please check the number and try your call again or contact your customer service center for assistance. Thank you.
Okay, I don't like that recording because that implies that I dialed wrong, and I certainly did not dial wrong. But it's very hard to get through to North Korea. They only have a couple of phone lines. It's difficult. But we'll try again maybe a little bit later. 631-632-9872 is our telephone number. Second of the phone call, good evening. You're on Off the Wall. Speak up, please. Okay, you know, I think we're getting somebody who's trying to call us from a different planet or something, or a different period of time. So please check your connection. Make sure you're not calling from North Korea or something like that. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Yeah, Emmanuel. Actually, I think there's a 7-second Neil Innes ID in the DigiCart that would then make you not have 2 seconds of dead air.
Oh, you know what? There's a 9-second Neil Innes.
Ah, you see?
How did you know that? That's amazing. Wow.
It is amazing. Any chance of getting Dr. Wedgie back on the air?
I have no idea who Dr. Wedgie is, and you're near a train, aren't you?
I was.
I can tell right away from everything you said that you're part of the radio station, you're local, and you're near a train track right now.
Not bad, not bad. Keep provoking.
Okay, thanks for your call. That's without caller ID. I was able to find out all that. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall. Speak up.
Hi.
Where are you calling from?
I just wanted to give a shout-out to all the guys at InformationLeak.org.
Okay. All right, apparently they're the hit of the night. Thanks for that. InformationLeak.org now. Is that different than .com? I assume they're the same people. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Oh, hey there. I just want to give a shout-out to InformationLeak. Big up to all the leakers.
Okay, what's going on here with all the InformationLeak calls? This is, never gotten a call from them before, and all of a sudden, 3 calls? And where are you calling from?
I'm calling from England, actually. I'm just messing around. Big up to InformationLeak. You're doing a great job.
Sounds like you're calling from the core of the Earth. What kind of connection do you have?
I am on a 28.8 kb a second dial-up connection.
Well, that's not bad, actually. You sound better than whoever it is trying to reach us through whatever tin can he's calling from. Not bad. So I guess this isn't costing you anything to call us.
No, it really doesn't.
Wow, that's amazing. What part of England are you in?
London.
Okay, heard of London. London is awesome. So they had a bit of excitement today with that BNP press conference, or lack thereof.
Yeah, I don't really agree with the BNP. They're bad people, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think they are. I mean, they don't allow a lot of people to join them, and they're anti a lot of good things. But how do you think they got elected?
I have no idea. I'm not really a big fan of politics, and I don't really keep up with it.
Well, maybe that's how they got elected then. Everybody's saying that, you know? Not enough people voting for people that were better than them.
It was probably just ignorance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That people not paying attention.
Yeah, I think that might very well be it.
So, I know, and I love Freaky D7, and talk to you later, Emmanuel.
Okay, thanks for your call. And that was a strange call from England. Boy, they're out there tonight. Good evening, you're on Off the Wall. Okay, it's our weird caller again. Whoever's trying to do that, you know, whatever you're doing, it's not working. You might as well just try something else. Good evening, you're on Off the Wall. All right, haven't gotten that yet. Good evening, you're on Off the Wall.
Yes, hello.
Hi, where are you calling from?
Yes, sir. I'm calling from Scottsdale, Arizona.
Okay. What's the area code there?
Excuse me?
What's the area code out there?
480.
Okay. No, you're right. I was just testing. Okay, what's on your mind?
Oh, well, actually, I wanted to ask you a question. I wanted to ask you... Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Now, turn on your radio. You might get
a question.
Yeah, you might get a little confused if you have the radio on because we're on delay.
Oh, that's it's totally scrambling my brain right now.
Yeah, yeah, we don't want to do that. We don't want to scramble anybody's brain.
I wanted to ask you, two questions. One, I wanted to ask you what you feel about North Korea and what we should do about that.
Okay.
And then the other thing I want to ask you is, what's with this InformationLeak.com? I don't understand what all the excitement is.
No, it's not Information Week. It's Information Leak, as in something that's dripping. So it's leak.com.org. Or something like that. Okay, I think maybe we should use the red button for that one. But all right, well, you know, technically that didn't violate any FCC rules, but I just felt it was bad taste. So I pressed the red button to see if the red button even works, and it does. So congratulations. Haven't used that button in a while. Wow, feels good. But yeah, informationleak.com. Thanks for bringing out these callers. Yes, what was I? North Korea. You know, I already talked about North Korea. I already talked about North Korea and how I felt it should be dealt with. Deal with people as human beings and stop speaking down to them and making them act like petulant children that have to be told what they can and cannot do by us. Right away, that's something that rubs me the wrong way. So. Yeah, a lot of issues to discuss, but first let's start respecting each other, and I think we might get a lot further. All right, 631-632-9872 is our telephone number. Let's get a bunch of calls so that we have a place to go in case we get silly ones. Here's something. This is about the dumbest thing I think I've seen in a while. I see a lot of dumb things. I really do. We have this channel here in the United States called the Sci-Fi Channel. I hate that word. I hate the word sci-fi because it smacks of sensationalism right there. You know, science fiction is one thing. You know, that to me sounds like books and intelligent films and things like that. Sci-fi is just like, I don't know, stupid stuff. Explosions and big-eyed aliens and that kind of thing. But anyway, do you know they're changing their name? Well, first of all, Sci-Fi Channel I think is really awful because... Well, just about every TV channel in America is awful now. I saw part of Titanic the other night, and it was okay. It had commercials throughout, and they had to, of course, cut the nude scenes and anything that might be offensive to, you know, some preacher in Idaho or something like that. And this is a cable network that doesn't even have to follow FCC rules, but they do it anyway. And then at the end, the credits. My God. It's like somebody had a VCR and they were scanning in fast forward mode. That's how fast the credits went by. It was funny. It was funny to actually think that these were considered credits. And that is how every TV station is these days. Every TV network, every cable channel, they all just go through those credits like they only have 3 seconds to do it, or they squish the screen down so you can't even read them with a magnifying glass. And then they just have infomercials all the time. These are networks that you're paying for. And they have infomercials at all odd hours. Now, there's a much better channel, much better science fiction channel called Space. But you can only get that in Canada or if you get a Canadian dish. And they actually will show old movies sometimes from the 1950s that are science fiction movies. That's what a science fiction channel should be able to do. Reality shows? They're reality shows on the Sci-Fi channel. What does reality have to do with fiction? Well, a little bit. But, you know, it's you can't have reality shows on a science fiction channel. It doesn't make any sense. So right away, you know, I don't really like this. It's not a network either. They call these things networks. How is it a network? It's one channel. It's one channel that's carried in a bunch of different places. There's no network involved. A network is something like NBC, which has affiliates, and they do local things. They contribute to the national network. You know, that's a network. A channel is not a network. Anyway, so the Sci-Fi channel, they're renaming themselves in July, and they're renaming themselves to Sci-Fi. Okay, what did I just say, and why doesn't it make any sense? Because what they're doing is they're changing the spelling. They're going to spell it S-Y-F-Y. They're going to intentionally spell it wrong, a way that no one has ever spelled it before. And do you know why they're going to do this? Do you know why they're going to do this? They're going to do this so that they can claim a trademark on the name. Yeah, that's why they're going to do it. So that when anybody ever says sci-fi spelled that way, S-Y-F-Y, if they could ever figure out how to spell it in the first place, I bet a lot of people are going to say S-I-F-I, they can say, you can't talk about that because that's us. That's our trademark. That's our word. You can't use that word. That's what it's going to be all about. It's the dumbest thing ever. No one's ever going to remember how to do this. And what a cynical approach to something that's supposed to be entertaining and creative and that kind of thing. Okay, some other fun stories. Let's see. This was interesting. Police reopened Clinton Square. This was in Syracuse, New York, at about 4 p.m. the other day after seeing a suspicious box. Yeah, the suspicious box was left at the base of the park's Civil War Monument in Clinton Square. A passerby reported the suspicious box to police about 2 p.m. Police were standing by the box while waiting for a bomb disposal expert to examine it. The box was a metal Sex and the City trivia game container. A man appeared to leave the game in the square at about 1:40 p.m., according to the Syracuse police. Police first tried to track down the person who left it there and get him to return to the park to open the box, but that turned out to be unsuccessful. The wind blew fluorescent pink game cards into the square's fountain, where they sank. Sex in the City trivia game, folks. That's what we have to be afraid of these days. And in addition to that, how about toy cougars? Yeah, Warren, Michigan. Warren, Michigan police responded to a 911 call about a cougar on the prowl. It's huge. It's like a 150-pound cat, the caller told the operator. Approximately 10 officers arrived at Bates Park, saw what looked like a big cat in an old cement drain pipe. Warren police shot a taser at the animal, hitting what turned out to be a large toy cougar. Police Commissioner William Dwyer said officials now believe the incident was a prank. But he said his department could not take any chances since it was near a playground. We did what we had to do. We want to keep the city safe. Dwyer said the prank cost the city more than $1,000 in wasted police hours between the response from 10 officers and then the paperwork they had to file. It's $1,000 right there. If the prankster is caught, he or she could have to pay the city back for the wasted police officers and could face 90 days probation. And that's more paperwork. It just never ends. A U.S. teenager who was thwarted in an attempt to rob an internet cafe armed with a hidden banana ate the weapon before he was arrested, police say. I'm not making any of this up. John Swalla, I'm not making that up either, entered the shop with a banana concealed under his T-shirt and demanded money, saying he had a gun. The shop's owner and customers overcame the hapless thief and called for help, but they said the teenager ate his weapon before the police arrived. Oh, yeah, he didn't eat the skin, though, did he? Officers joke they may charge the 17-year-old with destroying evidence. Bobby Ray Mabe, the owner of 109 Biz Center in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, said police officials took pictures of the banana skin instead. Okay, good, they're thinking. If he had a gun, he would have shot me. But he had a banana. Mr. Sawala has been charged with attempted armed robbery. Okay, well, that's pretty much going to do it for us here tonight. I want to thank people who wrote in to help us with last week's feature. Actually, you know, it was solved on the air, so I'm not quite sure why you wrote in. But I played a bit of a song, one of our experts was listening. Kubrit, who does various reggae programs over the years here on the radio station, is on Thursday nights and Friday nights here on the station, was able to identify, just from a few chords, the song I was trying to find after listening to an old episode of The Voice of Long Island from 1981. People wrote in and said they were able to find it on Google. I wasn't. I typed in lyrics. I could not find it. But I said, after Kubrit called in last week, that I would go out and buy it, and I did. I'm going to play it tonight. It's a song all about occupation, done by the Rastafarians. We'll see you next week. Write to us, otw@2600.com. Good night.